when disaster strikes. Will you be ready?
Good evening, and we begin tonight with the monster hurricane and its deadly impact already.
When all hope is gone, will the government be there for you? If you're looking for ways to take your prepping to the next level, then you've come to the right place. Broadcasting from a secure and well-prepared location, it's time for Prepping 2.0. And now, please welcome authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Well, hello, everybody. This is episode 45 of Prepping 2.0. This episode is Why Preppers Need Comms and Community with Bill Harrison. And by comms, of course, we're referring to communications, off-the-grid communications. Shelby will not be joining us today. She is picking up her son from football camp. He's a young warrior, and we encourage that in our household. We encourage that quite a bit. Bill is with Hardened Power Systems, and his company puts out one of many products, and that product is the one that caught my attention was the Operator Series of what they call HAMO cans, which is ham radio ammo cans. It's a battery and all the things you need to drop a really good radio console into an ammo can. It protects it. It's perfect for field operations. We'll talk more about that. That's what got my attention. And then Bill and I got to know each other, and I said, you'd be a great guest, so please come on the show and talk about more things. His company, Hardened Power Systems, makes a lot more stuff than just the ammo cans. And we're going to have some conversations today about the need for comms and the need for community. And he's also going to talk about alternative energy. And that is really exciting because he's got a new idea that he just showed me, and it blew my mind. I'm really looking forward to that conversation. But as usual, we have the top 100 things that go the quickest in a collapse. And this is based on Bosnian survivors' experiences. And it's a great list of things that you never would have thought of, and then you hear them and you say, oh boy, that makes sense. So these are things to either have or have a plan for acquiring, such as bartering. And this list of the top 100 things is on our website, which is prepping2-0.com. And we encourage you to go there, follow along. You can listen to all the episodes. You can hit all the buttons for, you know, subscribing on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, all that kind of stuff. The radio stations we're on and when we're on. By the way, word about iTunes, please rate and not only subscribe, but rate and comment and review. It really helps the algorithm push our show out to other people who are interested in this topic. And if you're listening to this, you probably want others to also learn about this topic. That's one of the things that preppers are well known for, and I think it's a nice trait that we all have, is we want other people to get this message and be prepared. And it's partially selfish. We will have fewer mouths to feed and fewer people to take care of in the collapse, but it's also, I think, a genuine good-hearted desire that we have that other people are going to live through what's coming and actually be as comfortable as possible. So yeah, please share the message. Well, speaking of sharing the message, we had just an enormously good reaction to episode 41, which was the one with John Mark about who's going to win Civil War II. Giant download numbers, make comments. Friends were texting me and telling me what a great show it was. Really encourage you to listen to that. And I encourage you to go on to John Mark's YouTube channel and listen to the other things he does. He has really, really insightful stuff about not just politics. I hate politics, right? So when I say it's about politics, it sounds kind of gross. It's not your normal kind of yelly shows, is what I call them, where people, pundits, yell at each other. No. It's about the future of the country, where it's going, how it's getting there, why this coming domestic conflict of however it plays out, why it's coming. And I highly encourage it. We were on the Patriot Trading Group's show on KXXT, which is a big radio station in Phoenix. That was fabulous. Thank you to Patriot Trading Group. They're friends of ours. They sell gold and silver, and they don't pay me or anything. I've been listening to their show for 10 years, and I'm a big fan. And then speaking of radio stations, and you might be listening to us on one of the radio stations we're on in the western states, KHNC in Colorado is a great station. Love it. We're really turning into a great relationship there. I'm filling in for other hosts on that show, and I have a Tuesday show for 2 hours called The Open Forum, and you can go onto the KHNC 1360 AM website, hit podcasts, hit Open Forum, and just look for the Tuesdays, and there's the show. We have a lot of fun on that show, and with 2 hours, we get to talk about all kinds of really cool topics. That has been real blessing, so thank you to the KHNC folks. Really, really appreciate that. Well, if you're a Patreon, and I hope you are, and Patreon is this thing where you can pay between $2 a month and up to $20 a month. I guess you could pay more than that, but I kind of don't suggest it. Just kind of save your money and spend it on on comms. but goodie bags, we have, stuff we wanted to send out to all our Patreons. That'll be coming out. By the time you hear this show, it probably will have arrived. And depending on your support level, we send out differing stuff. If you're $20 a month or more, we have a copy of book one of my books, 299 Days, and a copy of Shelby's book one, which is a great state and signed, and then a bunch of other stuff that you're going to see, you're going to love. The Patiently Awaiting the Collapse stickers and a surprise product with that thing on it, with that slogan on it, is coming, and we're already getting a lot of pictures that folks are sending in of their Patiently Awaiting the Collapse stickers that are affixed to things like gun safes and all kinds of other stuff. A friend of mine, 2nd Ranger Battalion, I'm not a Ranger, by the way, I've never been in the military, not implying that I'm cool, sent one on his water bottle with his two-bat scroll and his tab, and that was really cool, but stuff like that. And then sort of more and the final administrative item, I guess, and that is the big announcement that we had in the last episode. I'll go ahead and let you know, too, if you didn't catch the last episode, and that is there's going to be a second edition of the 299 Days book series, and it's going to be an updating, a little bit of a refresh. The storylines will not change very much. It's not going to be radically different. But there's going to be some updates, some refreshing, and there's going to be a change in one of the storylines, and that is the role of Dr. Foxy is going to change. And the short version of that story is that character, of course, is my former wife. And when I wrote these books, I was trying very, very hard to keep a marriage together and to be as kind and polite to her and respectful as possible. And some said it was a little unrealistic. And so I'm going to make her character and that storyline more realistic in the second edition. And and the big 9mm versus 40 cal debate, the second edition, I will switch from 40 to 9 and get up it with the times now, right? That seems to be a big debate. So that'll be coming out probably. Well, not probably. It will be coming out right after the 2020 elections, so mid-November 2020. And it looks like it'll be 8 books instead of the 10. Books 9 and 10 stand on their own, The Restoration and The 43 Colonels, and don't need to be updated. So that's what's going on with that. And speaking of new books, Shelby and I have the outline done, 11 pages, single space, by the way, for our book on working title is Food Preps 2.0. And we go through an entire food preparation system, how to store it, how to select it, how to preserve it, and then how to prepare it in less than ideal conditions, austere conditions, like maybe no electricity or something like that. So it's the entire, what I call food element of your preps, from soup to nuts, start to finish. And that's been getting just the outline we've been talking about on shows like a past show. And that too has received a lot of attention. And I think that book will be well received. Well, enough about that. It's time to get to our guest, Bill Harrison. A quick story. Well, actually, I'm going to ask Bill to tell us a little about himself and then tell the story about how we met. So, Bill, why don't you tell folks a little about yourself?
Sure. Happy to. Thanks for having me on, Glenn. I've been looking forward to this. I suppose I come from you know, kind of a long line of like cops and soldiers. And I was sort of the oddball that went the engineering and design direction when I was younger. Spent 30 years in what we called the Rust Belt outside of Detroit, Michigan, working in the automotive industry and in industrial design and engineering. And basically have been, I think, prepping before it was even called prepping. Wasn't necessarily like a trend or a thing. It was just, I grew up on a farm. And, you know, my parents and their parents, you know, you put stuff by, you gardened, you had animals. I mean, it was certainly a modern lifestyle, and that it wasn't unusual in any other sense, except I never had to have some sort of realization or epiphany that caused me to prep. It was just the way it was and still is. And it's a huge blessing. It took me about 10 years to get off the farm because I thought I wanted the city. Once I hit the city, it took me about 10 years to escape. And I wound up coming to Tennessee to find my wife. And we have three kids in pretty rural middle Tennessee, just above the Alabama line. Beautiful part of the country. And I've lived in a handful of places, and they all have their strengths and weaknesses, but Tennessee is a choice that I'm very, very happy with. So we've got some small acreage, a little homestead in the middle of a lot of bigger acreage. We're covered up with deer and turkey. One of the really interesting things, and some people know this and some people don't, but my company, the shop itself, is actually on our land. So my commute is about 300 feet, and it's awesome. And frankly, that also was very deliberate from a prepping standpoint. You know, I've got a big building that's full of alternative energy stuff and batteries and solar panels and gear and equipment and inventory. And that's not such a bad thing to have, say, in the backyard. So now at 51 years old, I find myself busier than I've ever been. Patiently awaiting the collapse, of course, and while that's happening, we are very, very busily designing, building, shipping equipment that is helping other people prep, and that means a lot to me too. I mean, I'm not going to say it's all altruistic or anything, but that's a huge benefit to know that. You know, we are not just selling like fidget spinners here. We get some amazing testimonials and pictures, and it's a blessing to have a customer base that includes, you know, Joe Prepper, military, FEMA, National Guard, amateur radio clubs, and my neighbors and my friends. And it definitely has been, you know, it surprises me that it's been so much work, because like Obama said, you know, I didn't build this. So that's kind of puzzling, but it's neat when you've got, your half dozen closest friends, expressing a desire to come to your place if things go sideways. And that's very deliberate on my part. And we can talk about that later and why it's critically important. But yeah, I suppose that's me. Myself, my wife, Cindy, some animals, some kids, and just smack in the middle of God's country. It's flyover country, so we get ignored, which is valuable.
Yeah, that's perfect. And tell folks about your, give them your website and then also your YouTube channel, which here's the thing about your YouTube channel that I like so much. You do 90-second and sometimes longer videos with an overview of some of your products, and it gets your mind spinning when you watch these things and you think, oh my goodness, this is how I could apply that or something like that. So give folks your website and your YouTube channel before we proceed.
Sure. And apologies for the long URL, but it is portableuniversalpower.com. There are other ways to get there, but that's the best probably. So again, portableuniversalpower.com. The company name is Hardened Power Systems, the website is probably the source of, I don't know, maybe 70-80% of our business activity. It is the most likely way that people interact with us and get gear and so forth. And the YouTube channel is Hardened Power. And that's really been actually a lot of fun. You know, it's funny. It's the videos all, and I'm sure you know this, the videos take longer than you think to make. You're never quite happy with it when you hit the upload button. Once it's done, you're like, well, that's great. And it's in the bag and it's done and people are seeing it. And it's kind of like, I don't know, it's sort of an investment. So I always look at our channel and I think about all the videos that we should have done already. But we're getting better with that. We've gotten some better software so we can use, you know, more than one camera angle and when you and I were talking privately, I mentioned one of the things that's nice is we finally got some serious internet. You know, it's a challenge. We really are in the middle of nowhere. Our home and our shop is at the end of a dead end road between two rivers. About 15 miles from the nearest town, which is not much of a burg. So things like internet and cell service are a challenge. But, you know, that's a good example. With a little bit of knowledge, what we did was put two Yagi antennas, and Yagis are just directional antennas. They're not expensive. They're very common, easily found. A couple of Yagi antennas up on a pole on the roof of the shop and aimed it at the distant cell tower, and now we've got screaming internet. So that's another thing that helps the YouTube channel, is now instead of, you know, 10, 20 hours to upload a video, it takes a few minutes. So that's good.
Well, and you mentioning the setting that you're in is the perfect segue to a topic, and we have about 6 minutes left in this segment, but we'll keep talking about it after the break. And that is the broad question for you: why do preppers need comms?
Sure. It almost shouldn't even be a question, right? It should be obvious. If right now our culture, our society, our interaction is just inundated with communication, I mean, to an extent that's perhaps dangerously pervasive, we're almost too much in touch all the time. So it becomes difficult to imagine a scenario where suddenly you are not in touch with anybody at all unless they're standing in front of you. So the potential lack of communication is going to have a cultural shock and an impact that we can only speculate about, because there is no historical precedent for a society that is so indelibly wired in, hooked up, communicating, and then all of a sudden there's none. It's going to be difficult for me, and I kind of expect it to happen, and it's hard to even imagine. So when you talk about the importance of comms, comms is such a general term, right? There's one way communication and two way communication. Both have their place. Both are valuable. When people think about ham radio, and you and I have talked about this, and it's just, it's too true not to make the point again. Most people think about ham radio and their eyes kind of glaze over when they imagine this very complex, difficult thing where you have to have a ham shack and you have to spend thousands of dollars. And that's certainly part of ham radio. It can be. And it's a neat hobby, and a lot of guys do that. And, you know, the people that do take it very seriously and enjoy it and spend a lot of time and money, these are the guys that you would never know standing next to you in the post office is some otherwise regular guy that if a tornado hits your town, he's on the sheriff's speed dial. Because this guy will jump in his truck, drive to wherever the rally point is, set up his radios, and right now in 2019, he will be the highest tech form of communication available for hours or days or whatever. So there is that. At one end of the spectrum, ham radio is powerful, it's versatile, it can be complicated, and you really can talk all the way across the world with it. Now, what I have seen, and I do think I'm in a unique position just because of my business and our customers and the feedback. What I've seen, I think, is a very intelligent move by your average prepper to begin with something called GMRS. You and I have talked about it, the General Mobile Radio Service. So GMRS, it does require a license, but that license does not require a test. The feds just want your money and your name. So you give them $65-$70. Within a day or two, you have a call sign. You're legal to operate on the GMRS frequencies. And one of the neat things is it covers you and your what the FCC calls immediate family. But when I called the FCC to get clarification on that, it's what you and I would consider extended family. It's siblings, it's parents, it's children, it's
or
grandparents.
It's Pao. It's my Korean gunfighter buddy on my team. You look at him and you'd say, there's no way these two guys are related. But yeah, we identify as immediate family, Bill.
Yeah, he's so your brother, right?
That's
he's
right. We identify. So that's all that matters nowadays.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, for a small amount of money and literally 10 minutes on the FCC webpage, you know, you're legal to run GMRS. Once you've got and here's one of the reasons I know that some of my customers are like yelling at the radio right now because they're ham guys. And they're like, Bill, you're a ham guy. What are you doing? Well, I don't even know how many customers we've had that buy something like the Operator G1 or the Operator 115, and these are dedicated GMRS systems, and 6 months later, I find out they got their ham ticket. So, you know, it's an excellent gateway drug, and if you wind up getting your ham license, that's awesome. But if you didn't start with GMRS, you wouldn't have had an easy entry into comms. You wouldn't probably have had a reason to appreciate why it's important, why it's valuable, and you probably would never have gotten your amateur radio license. So for the typical prepper, just don't even question it. Just if you've got the money to spend, if you don't have a solution for comms, then get your GMRS license, spend a couple hundred dollars and get half a dozen or more inexpensive, very common, little handheld radios, and be prepared. Yep.
Yeah, we got a hard break coming up.
Got
so
it.
We're gonna hit a pause on you, and we're gonna carry over this, and we're gonna talk about how GMRS. I agree with you 100%. You convinced me is the way to go to get started. Stick with us. We'll be back in a moment.
We'll be right back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate right after this.
The Operator G1 is a full-featured, rugged comm solution designed for the Midland MXT-100 and 105. Designed and manufactured in the USA, the Operator is an all-in-one support platform for two-way wireless communication for civilians. Using the GMRS bands, there is no ham license required, and no test is needed for operation. Ideal for preppers, hunters, homesteaders, ranchers, and people just like you. Waterproof when closed, this rugged system houses the Midland radio, microphone, and antenna, providing an always ready, always charged, grab-and-go solution for emergencies or events as well as an ideal solution for a base station or vehicle use. Powered by a 60 amp hour internal battery, the operator recharges quickly and easily using the supplied AC charger, the internal solar controller, or directly from a vehicle. If you recognize the value of wireless communication with or without grid power, the Operator G1 is an award-winning solution that allows simple, one-button communication when it counts. Our two-year warranty, quality materials, and first-class assembly technicians deliver a high-value solution when you need to be sure you can get your comms up.
PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Looking to meet other like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own prepper group? Already have a group? Join PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet has gathered the biggest names in the industry to help unite preppers everywhere. Join John Jacob Schmidt, Scott Hunt, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, Charlie Hogwood, Samuel Culper, Survivor Jane, Rick Austin, Franklin Horton, Ryan Mitchell, and Brian Duff. Our team is united. Check us out at PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. PrepperNet.com.
And we're back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Well, we were talking on segment one. We were talking during that segment about GMRS and ham radio and the need for, well, I say ham radio, I mean ham radio equipment, not really ham radio licenses. And I wanted to, and the need for communication, and I wanted to give everybody an illustration of what we're talking about, because this will be a pretty concrete thing. And that is, we recently had a team field exercise. It was just a weekend training that we do periodically. That's fabulous training, by the way. I have the best team in the world. And so in here's an illustration of why you need comms, which is what we were talking about in segment one. And that is the number of texts and emails it took to organize this, just to say, hey, these handful of people be at this location at this time with this gear, and here's what we're going to do over the weekend. Here's the rough overview of what the training's going to be. That was, as I say, dozens of texts and emails with all those details. Then there were probably hundreds of radio transmissions. Each team member has a radio, and there's a base station, and to just coordinate the movements, that's what we were practicing, coordinating movements, and then saying, okay, these two guys are going to go, and we have this amazing access to this amazing training facility that was, we were the only ones using it that weekend. It has vehicles, you know, pretend vehicles and pretend buildings and all that kind of stuff, and you go around this building, and then you guys hit the van, and then you guys come around and you guys hit the sedan and all that sort of stuff. Hundreds and hundreds of radio transmissions. That's a teeny example of the amount of communications that are needed to get anything done. You know, move, shoot, and communicate. We had to move and get there. That took comms. Shooting takes comms. We weren't doing live fire, but we were making sure we weren't pointing guns at each other and that we were pointing guns at the correct place, the bad guys. And obviously, it takes communications to do that. And that's a teeny example of all the comms that are needed. And so, Bill, here's the wider question for you. Comms implies you have people to talk to and listen to, which is community. So why do you think folks need, in the prepping community, need to have community? And how important is it?
You almost can't overstate how important community is. You know, somebody who's prepping for their own reasons and quite likely is getting a lot of their information off of the internet. And of course, it must be true if it's on the internet. So they, of course, they have good information. The temptation is to kind of be the gray man and quietly amass your preps and patiently await the collapse. And then after the collapse, yay, you've got all this food and you've, you know, got guns and you've got radios. If you actually sit down, which I did, and long form figure out how many people you would need just to supply perimeter security, cooking, cleaning, keeping an eye on kids, keeping everything running, getting rest, all the unknowns that would crop up. Basically, what I came up with is we would need 30 people. Now, once I realized that, and we joke about it within our little mutual assurance group here, which is a group that I'm blessed to be a part of, but figure you got a number of either current or active military, law enforcement, or medical, or engineers, or they're just regular folks, but they're awake, and you know we've agreed to help each other in advance. What I set out to do 10, 15 years ago was to make my homestead the place they would want to come to, because I don't want to leave my homestead, so I selfishly want these people coming here. And it's kind of a running joke. You know, that's what all the guys are trying to do, is to make their place the one that we all want to get to.
Good competition to have. That benefits everybody.
Absolutely. And you know, part of that is just, you mentioned normalcy bias. There is going to be more than enough things to stress you out. If I need to go out into the backyard and repair the pump, I want somebody watching my back. You got to sleep. You got to eat. You got to rest. You need downtime. You need potentially healing time. It's, when people talk about everything about in prepping except community, or like the lone wolf, they're gonna put on their inch bag and grab their gun and disappear in the woods. You know, you better have some pretty spectacular skills and an absence of bad luck if that's your plan. What you really want is you want to be surrounded by people you already know. Because if you pull that off and you've got a little homestead and there's 30, 40 people there and somehow it's actually working, there's going to be a lot of people you don't know. They're going to be walking up your driveway.
And you're going to need patrols, and you're going to need lots of extra people, and you're going to need depth on your fire chart and all of that stuff, because those strangers are going to be walking up and saying, I smell food cooking. This must be the place I need to be, and yep, all that. You know, and the military has the famous tooth to tail ratio. The tooth would be the fighting part of the animal, and then the tail is all the rest of the animal. And I want to say that conventional army is a big army is now very proud to be at, I believe, 7-1, meaning for every guy out there fighting, whether it's infantry or Green Beret and everybody in between, they've got 7 people supporting that one guy, right? And that's the finance people, and of course, big army is different than we are, but you know, understand that it's a multiple. For every fighter, it's a multiple, whether it's, you know, 2 or 3 or 7 or 10. By the way, in World War II, I want to say it was probably in the teens as far as tooth to tail. I mean, there were that many people that were needed to do all the other stuff. And think about this. And I always go back to the Revolutionary War as an example, because I think it's pretty apropos. Technology was lower, yes, but the amount of technology that the fighting forces used was also lower, so it kind of equals out. I mean, you got muskets, yes, but I mean, you don't have the internet, but you only have muskets. So with that being said, there were quite a few people in every Revolutionary War camp, both for the Americans and the British, that did laundry. A lot of women would come and just do laundry, because I mean, you're going to get filthy and soiled. And there were people that made tents. There were people that cooked. There were all these things. So even this idea that it was, you know, the Minuteman idea, a guy just grabs his musket and he goes down to the river and confronts the British. And it was sort of a one man solo operation, or you didn't need any support even back then. Not even that's true. And you mentioned in an off-air conversation about how towns are 5 to 10 miles apart, if you look at them, old towns are, and current towns, and that's about a walking distance there to the other town and back in the amount of daylight you have, and there's a reason for that. We need to be connected. Here's the other thing. I look at history, and I look at not only the past, I look at the present and other parts of the world. How do human beings operate? Because there are a lot of similarities among people in now and in the past. And one of the things is that people operate in communities. Some are bigger and some are smaller. But yes. dare I say, it's not a religious show, but I will say this. I believe God designed human beings in a particular way. And one of the things about our design is that we need other people around for various things. And so that I accept that. I look at, you know, Iraq and Argentina and Iceland, and I look around and I say, no, nobody really is off by themselves. There is community involved, and that'll be especially true in the arduous Spartan conditions of a collapse. And it'll be even more important to have community in America, because we are so used to having everything done for us. You know, we go to a drive-through and we get a bunch of food and we hand them a card and it gets charged and off we go. We are so used to outsourcing just about everything to somebody that we're going to need a lot more people to do these things. And of course, this comes with the caveat, and you mentioned this, Bill. These are people you know, right? You got to have that. I'm not just saying open up the gates and let anybody in. You got to have those people now, and you have to have quite a few of them, and that's a balancing act. You, the listener, are the best person to judge how many people you need and who they are and if you have access to them. By the way, a quick note, if you are on your own and you would love to be part of a prepper group, but it's a big task and you don't just want to go on Craigslist and say, hey, right, prepper group needed, that would probably be a terrible idea. There's PrepperNet. I highly recommend PrepperNet.com. Yep. And it's kind of a meetup. I joke with the founder, Forrest Garvin, that it's the dating site, right? It's the match.com for preppers. It's not really about getting dates. It's about meeting people who then, if you get to know them, hopefully will become part of your team, your mutual assistance group, and all that kind of stuff. So community is vital. I'm completely, you know, emphasizing what you're saying, Bill. And that's one of the things, community is one of the things that is part of prepping 2.0. As we fondly say, prepping 1.0 is you've got your beans and your bullets and you got an AR-15 and that's all good. The next step is, among other things, community. And community only works if you can communicate. Give the example that we were talking about off air about the motorcycle gang as a reason to have community, and it ties in with the reason to have comms. How does the community and the neighborhood, or pardon me, the community and the motorcycle gang fit into what we're talking about?
Sure. Well, you could pick up any one of hundreds of prepper books, right? Notably 299 days, right?
A great state. I would add a great state to that.
Oh, yes, which, sir, by the way, I just finished Shelby's first.
Yes.
Yep. Very good.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for the genre. So I don't know how much of an endorsement is that, but I did like it. I thought it was very good.
I'll pass that on to her.
Okay. The idea of the motorcycle gang is kind of a euphemism similar to zombie, right? If you can prepare for zombies, you can pretty much prepare for anything. If you can prepare for the motorcycle gang, you can pretty much prepare for anything. So in our scenario, we're at the end of a dead-end road. We've got a handful of neighbors within a few minutes walk or run. One of those neighbors is closer to the feeder road of the road that we live on. Now, you know, he's one of the first people that we're going to be given a radio to. And in a scenario where I'm kind of a fan of James Wesley Rawls as well for his insight, expertise, and his writings. And one of the things, I think he coined the term, I'm not sure, but one of the things he discusses is the golden horde. Okay.
Yes, I think he did. It's a real thing.
Yeah. So, you know, like in my scenario, we're roughly, by car, we're an hour and a half from Nashville and an hour from Huntsville. Okay. We're 3 hours from Memphis. So one of the things we have to consider is if there is some sort of a collapse, our little sparsely populated town is going to be feeling these expanding ripples of people that are fleeing the death traps that cities will become. And by the time they make it 50, 60, 80, or 100 miles, the people that have made it that far are either the luckiest, the meanest, the strongest, the somehow they made the cut. And if those are the people that are at the end of my road, then I want that neighbor with that radio to be raising the alarm that's what's happening. Especially since if that did happen, his house is the first one that's ripe for the pickings.
And that's what's in it for him. If you pardon the interruption, that's what's in it for him. See, there's politics involved here, and I mean small p politics, not partisan stuff. Hey, you at the tip, you know, the trip line, right? You're the first house and that's going to be hit by these bad guys. And by the way, you don't necessarily need to have a conversation with somebody about this now because they may not understand the idea of golden hordes coming from Memphis, maybe completely like a crazy idea to them. But when they see it on TV and they know it's coming, now all of a sudden, Crazy Bill wasn't so crazy, right? And so that's what's in it for you, neighbor. And here is a Baofeng, $20, $30, $40. They come in varying costs with different battery sizes. By the way, get them now on Amazon. There may not be Baofengs that have the capabilities they currently have because of the FCC. Google it. Doesn't too much detail right now. So you give that guy a radio, and they're easy to program, and it's on, say, a GMRS frequency. And by the way, nobody's worrying about, you know, ham radio licenses at this point because it's an emergency. That guy can tell you when they're coming, when the bad guys are coming. They may be hungry Rotarians or Kiwanis members, or they might be a motorcycle gang. Either way, that's a problem for everybody down that road. And then you, with your people, remember we were just talking about how many people you need, you can send people from your encampment, your household, and all the other ones down to meet the bad guys. And this is how it works, and this is what's in it for everybody. And you know, and we were talking about the operator hammo cans, which are the ammunition, the ammo can, a 30 cal, a 50, or a fat 50, that are, that's just chock full of all the stuff you need to just drop a radio in, and it's got a battery, and it's got solar charger way, and it's got, you know, AC and DC, always all the kinds of ways of recharging it. So you got this base station that's transmitting, and you've got all these people with very inexpensive, very easy to operate handheld radios, and they're all talking. And to the extent the bad guys are using radios, and we can expect that they will, probably in the initial phases not as well as we do because we're prepared. However, the bad guys will acquire radios, and they will probably kidnap people who know how to use radios. So at some point, expect, you know, parity of technology when it comes to comms. And maybe the bad guys have even better comms. But anyway, so you're gonna be listening with this hammo can because it's this great base station. It's rugged as can be. And that's why, you know, I wanted you on the show, and that's why I wanted people to hear what you have to say, is because this scenario we're describing is likely, is completely understandable, and it's a problem that can be solved with very little expense, very little complexity and knowledge and all of that other stuff. And it involves community, and it involves simple comms. So there you go. That's the evangelism portion of this show. I'm evangelizing people about community and comms, and Bill, I think you are too. Anything to add to that?
Can I get an amen? Nope, I'm with you on everything.
Oh, fantastic. So let's see. Preppers need community. You know, we have a little bit of time. We have about 6 minutes here. A little bit of time to talk about alternative energy. And I wanted to set the table for this. Folks, we're not talking about necessarily rewiring your house and having a giant solar array and, you know, powering your espresso machine, you know, with solar power and the tens of thousands of dollars and complexity that would take. Alternative energy on a pretty small level, I would say, to just do the stuff you need to do, and in particular comms. And so, Bill, one of the things you do as an engineer and do well, besides the operator series of these hammo cans that we were talking about, also some small battery banks and some things that can take solar chargers. Describe for folks the importance of alternative energy for, say, charging radios and stuff, because I think a lot of people skip over this part and they just want to get like 7 AR-15s and go fight the motorcycle gangs, which I'm all for, by the way. It's sure. Just you need to be able to communicate and direct your fire and get your people where they need to be with the stuff they need to have. So talk a little bit about some of the alternative energy stuff that Hardened Power Systems does.
Sure. And I guess by way of introduction, one of the things I would definitely say is your goal is not to be able to power your home like it's currently powered. Because if you do that, you're in the upper tenth of the 99th percentile, and you're going to have a massive target on your back. You do not want your house lit up when the surrounding 10,000 houses are dark. So you're not talking about power like you know it today. You're talking about power for things that are critical. When you lose power in your house, the first thing you do, if assuming it's nighttime, is you look for light, right? Because you're going to bark your shin on the sofa. You need to be able to see what you're doing. So thankfully nowadays, with LEDs as advanced as they are, small scale solar systems that are portable, and we make some, are incredibly valuable. Say, for example, all I have is a solar system that weighs about 40 pounds. I can carry it with one hand, and it's got a solar panel. Well, what that really means is that I can very easily run like some LED Christmas lights around the perimeter of a room, and everybody in that room can see enough to do what they're doing. It means that I can charge the batteries in a headlamp, so if I have to pull a sliver out of somebody, I can do that. It means that I can keep the communication handheld radios charged. Now, here's another thing, too. It might sound funny, but I do this. You can buy an Amazon Kindle cheap. Many people don't know that that comes with an email address. You can put documents into it that aren't Kindle documents, just PDF. You can email it. Go online, download a couple thousand prepper references, email them into your Kindle, throw the Kindle somewhere safe, and forget about it. Those things run forever on a battery charge.
You got the Library of Congress right there, basically. You got all the books that you're going to need and maybe some interesting fun books, some classic literature, because you're going to get bored.
Absolutely. Children's absolutely
books, Encyclopedia Britannica, whatever it might be, and there it is. And you don't, yeah, exactly right. And it takes little power and little cost. Take advantage, folks, of technology that we have now. Yes, it could end up being our downfall, and yes, I don't like Google and Facebook and all that other stuff. I have big problems with big tech. However, mm-hmm. I'm going to use them for everything I can. Yeah, keep going. This is good.
Yeah, just think in terms of small scale. You're not going to heat your house with electricity. You're not going to cool your house with electricity. You're not going to have a golf cart that you're bombing around the wastelands that's powered by electricity. If you're smart about it, what you're going to have is something that one person can carry that will give you light, communication, and other reference critical data info. I'll tell you what, our little juice box will charge DeWalt power tools. Okay.
Now, they're amazing. Now, yeah.
You're right. So it's like, yeah, maybe I can't go to Home Depot and replace my DeWalt skill saw, but until that thing dies, it's going to be almost as valuable as an AR around a homestead when you're doing stuff. If you got to build a latrine in the backyard, I mean, most people don't even have handsaws anymore. So we have become somewhat trapped by our own technology. And I agree with you. Use it. Use it while you can. Yeah, it's kind of like we were talking about just the pervasive communication with cell phones. Everybody's communicating constantly. If that goes away, people are going to already be pretty freaked out and half a bubble off center. You know, add some hunger and some fear to that, and you better have community, and you better have some small scale power. just think about the fact that you don't want people to know what you have. I'm sorry, but you don't. So if that happened, you better have blankets up over the windows and low-level lighting, because you're going to be in the house and you're going to be trying to pass time, board games, cards, reading materials, books, repairs, talk, whatever. Hard to do in the dark.
Yeah, it sure is. And we have about a minute before the regular show ends. And by the way, we will obviously have Bill on for the after show, which is available to Patreon supporters. And you can find out how to be a Patreon supporter at prepping2-0.com. And one question we're going to be asking him in the after show that I think is a good reason to listen to the after show. So we're going to ask Bill what his thoughts are on the future of America, but we have a few more seconds. I'll sort of wrap up the regular show with some additional thoughts on alternative energy. I'm always talking about politics and adding value to your neighborhood and giving your neighbors a reason to be on your side and all of that. Remember, I was talking about handing out a radio and being able to have that person communicate, and then their bacon gets saved, because you can rush a team of gun-toting, you know, crazies to go blast away at the motorcycle gang that's marauding that guy. Well, if you can give alternative energy, if you can charge somebody's batteries, that sort of stuff, you got a friend and you got an ally. Well, we have come to the end of the regular show. Can't believe how quickly it flew. Stick with us for Bill Harrison in the after show. You're going to love it.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate. All of the fun and easy prepping information heard on this podcast can be found online at prepping2-0.com. You can also find out more about Glenn's books online at 299days.com and about Shelby's books online at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.